I would start our Bible study today by asking a question. What part of the Word of God is the marching orders for believers at this present time? If you give that question to some Christians, they will say without hesitation, obviously, the words of Christ. And they mean by that the words of Christ recorded in the four Gospels. They would say, well, you can't go higher than the words of the Saviour, and what he has left there on record are our commands, and we should definitely be seeking to follow them out in our daily life. Well, now, this is a very serious question, a very important question for everyone who's redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ, and so we'll face up to it. Let us say at the very outset that if this is so, if the words and the commands given by the Lord Jesus when here upon earth are our marching orders, then we must admit this fact, that every single one we are bound to carry out. We are not at liberty to take some that we like or some that we deem are more important and leave some out that may not appeal to us. So easy to do that, isn't it? We either obey all of them, or we don't obey any of them. So I'm going to ask you, first of all, to open the Gospel according to Matthew, at the 5th chapter, and let us see a command of Christ. And I would ask such who say that the words given by the Lord Jesus when here upon earth are bounden upon them to carry out in practice, I would ask them whether they seek to put this into practice. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 42. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Now, are we ready to put that into practice? That's a definite command of Christ. We are told to give when we are asked. If someone seeks to borrow from us, we're told to let them have what they're asking. And the Lord doesn't say, well, do it if it's convenient to you to do it, and if you haven't got much, well, don't bother to do it. The Lord doesn't talk like that. This is a command that is bounden upon every Christian today. If the Gospel according to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John give us the Christians marching orders. Or let's turn to another one. This time, let's go to the Gospel according to Luke. Luke's Gospel, chapter 12. Verse 32, Luke 12, verse 32 and 33. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have, and give alms. Literally, sell your possessions, and give alms. Well now, have we done it? Have we sold our possessions? And have we given alms? If we haven't, then we're disobedient believers. But you know, I've got a feeling that many believers who say that this is their marching orders seem to turn a blind eye to this particular command of Christ. They don't make any attempt at all to carry it out. And we're in no position to try and spiritualize it. Sell your possessions can only mean just what it says. And give alms. Well, now I'm going to ask this question. Who did the Lord address these commands to? In other words, when the Lord Jesus Christ came in the flesh, to whom did he come? Well, here we must have the mind of God on this point. We mustn't guess. And so I'm going to ask you to further open the Scriptures and turn to the Epistle to the Romans and the 9th chapter. Romans 9. He says in verse 3, the Apostle Paul speaking, "For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites." Well, this is literal Israel. Can't be anything else. His kinsman according to the flesh. And to Israel according to the flesh pertain the adoption, the sonship, the possession of the firstborn, and the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises. Whose are the fathers? That is Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And now note, of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came. So, if we believe what God says in his word, the Lord Jesus Christ came to Israel after the flesh. Let us go on to chapter 15. Chapter 15, verses 8 and 9. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision. That's Israel according to the flesh. For the truth of God, to confirm the promises made to the fathers. Israel's fathers. Not your fathers and my fathers, we who are Gentiles. They don't come into the Bible. But God made certain promises and covenants to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the Lord Jesus Christ came to the circumcision, Israel, to confirm and to ratify those promises. And now we'll turn to see what the Lord actually said himself. So we'll go back to Matthew's Gospel, the 15th chapter. Here is a Gentile woman, a woman of Canaan, coming to the Lord in intense need. And in verse 23, he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent, but only unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So now we have it on the authority of the Lord Jesus himself that his ministry was only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And not only that, but when he called the 12 disciples and commissioned them, let's see what he said in the 10th chapter of Matthew. Matthew 10, verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans, enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So simple faith says, well, all the Lord's commands, all his teaching, all his ministry when he walked this earth was to Israel only. And those whom he called and sent forth were also to Israel only. They were not allowed to go to any Gentile. Go not into the way of the Gentile. And when, as we've just seen, when a Gentile woman comes in all her need, he answers her not a word to begin with. And then when he does speak, he has to say to her, I'm not sent to you. I'm only sent to Israel. So, surely we now have arrived at this point that the commands of Christ given in the days of his flesh were given to the people of Israel. And those who believed amongst Israel, well, that was their marching orders. Now, I would ask you to come with me a little further. When we study the words recorded in the four Gospels, have we come to the climax of truth in the Bible? Is that the highest truth that God has revealed in the Scriptures? Well, again, let's see what the Epistle to the Hebrews tells us. And that has been inspired by the Holy Spirit. So, we can look at it with every confidence. Chapter 2, the Epistle to the Hebrews. It says in verse 2, For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord? Note that word, began, will you? The Lord started something, but he didn't completely finish it, look. It began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. And then if we come back to John, chapter 16, again we shall find the Lord telling us that there was something future that he couldn't possibly reveal. The Gospel of John, chapter 16, verse 12. He says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. So, taking that quotation from Hebrews, and this statement by the Lord, what do we find? The Lord began something which he didn't finish. He wanted to lead them on, but he said, I can't do it. But later on, when the Holy Spirit comes, and friends, that was after the crucifixion, after the resurrection, he will guide you into all truth. Now, a simple childlike faith then says, oh, I see. I shan't find all truth then in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ when on earth. I shall find all truth later on when the Holy Spirit is given. Exactly. So the climax of truth is not found in the Lord's earthly ministry. We shall find it later on in the epistles. Now as regards the actual words and commands of the Lord Jesus Christ, I think we'll go a little further into this and actually see what he himself said, apart from telling us it was directed to the nation of Israel only. Let's turn to the Gospel of John, go a little further back to chapter 6. John chapter 6. And verse 38. For he said, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. The work that he was carrying out when he came in the days of his flesh was carrying out the Father's will. Chapter 7 and verse 16. Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. So not only is his will the will of the Father, but his doctrine is the Father's doctrine. Chapter 14. John chapter 14 and verse 10. There's the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to Philip. Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. My works are not mine. The Father is doing the works through me. And in the same chapter and the 24th verse, he that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's, which sent me. Oh, surely it is clear. It is not my will, it is the Father's will. It is not my doctrine, it is the Father's doctrine. It is not my works, they are the Father's works. The words I speak are not mine, they are the Father's words. So you see, strictly speaking, friends, in the gospel record, we've not got the words of Christ. He said so, they're not my words. What we have is the words of the Father. The Father making known his will to his chosen people, Israel, to whom the Lord Jesus Christ came to, definitely in the days of his flesh. Well now, I presume that my hearers are largely, if not all, Gentiles. And we have to ask the question then, if we can't find our marching orders in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ when he walked this earth, where can we find them? This is predominantly a Gentile age, is it not? This is the age when the people of Israel, temporarily at least, are unusable. Because at the end of the Acts, they're left because of their rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the rejection of the further offer of mercy given during the Acts of the Apostles, given through Peter's lips in Acts 3:19-26, because of their rejection of all that, they are left with blinded eyes, with hardened hearts, with deaf ears, so they can't be converted, it says. Lest they be converted, and I should heal them. That's characterized the nation of Israel ever since the end of the Acts. And friends, they're still like it today as a race. God in his mercy has saved individual Jews, yes, praise his name for that. But they're saved just like Gentiles. They're saved just as sinners needing a Saviour. They can't come to him and claim any privileges because they're the stock of Israel. For now, temporally God says, you are not my people, and furthermore, I will not be your God. What a dreadful state. Fancy God saying that to anybody, I will not be your God. And so, this is the age which is predominantly Gentile. Has God, in his word, sent a messenger to give us, who are outside the pale by nature, as Ephesians tells us, we're aliens by nature from the commonwealth of Israel, and we're strangers from the covenants of promise? Surely, if it wasn't for God's grace, and if he hadn't made known to us some new purpose since the days of his flesh, we should have to take the same place as that poor Gentile woman. And we'd hear him saying to us, I'm only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. What a terrible position then we should be in. But, praise his name, that is not so, because God has sent a messenger. Now Israel is laid aside. He has sent somebody and has spoken a new word since the days of his resurrection, and that channel is the Apostle Paul. Now, will you turn with me then to the Epistle to the Romans, so that we may verify this from the Word of God and get it quite clear. The 11th chapter. Verse 12. Now if the fall of them, and the them refers to Israel, be the riches of the world and the diminishing of them, that is Israel, the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? Oh yes, there's a future for Israel. Or when they're taken up again, when they're all saved, what a marvellous time of blessing it will be for the world. It'll be just like life from the dead, resurrection life. But he says in verse 13, I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. Now the word apostle is just a sent one, very parallel to the word ambassador. He also calls himself an ambassador of Christ. Here's one then to whom the risen Christ sent to you and me who are Gentiles. And he's the only one in the New Testament who can take that title. There were others associated with him in this ministry to the Gentiles. Oh yes, apostles. But he preeminently is the apostle to us who are Gentiles. Come along to the epistle to the Galatians and the second chapter. He goes to Jerusalem and to the mother church at Jerusalem. They have to face out this question concerning his ministry and the ministry of Peter and the circumcision. And so, in the second chapter of Galatians and verse 7, but it says, but contrariwise, when they saw the gospel of the uncircumcision, that Gentile, was committed to me, because he's the apostle and sent one to the Gentiles, as the gospel of the circumcision, that's Israel, was to Peter, for he that wrought effectively in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, God, the risen Christ, sends Peter as his mouthpiece to the circumcision, Israel. The same risen Christ sends the apostle Paul to the Gentiles. So he says here, the same was mighty in me towards the Gentiles. Peter was mighty for Christ to Israel. Paul was mighty for Christ to the Gentiles. And then we come over to his first letter to Timothy. The first epistle of Paul to Timothy. And the second chapter, he talks about the Lord Jesus Christ being the one mediator, verse 5, between God and men. verse 6, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not. We have to add that. Very emphatic, very solemn, very true. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. Verity. A teacher of the Gentiles. Peter could never call himself a teacher, a sent one to the Gentiles. He was sent to Israel. James could never use that. John could never use that. Jude could never use that. No. He is the only one that the risen Christ laid hold of by his grace and sent him as his mouthpiece to us who are Gentiles. Now come to his last letter to Timothy. Verse 10 of chapter 1, 2 Timothy 1:10. God's purpose in Christ Jesus, the end of verse 9. Verse 10 says, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Saviour Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. The gospel which was given to me as a teacher of the Gentiles. So he's not only sent to the Gentiles, but he's a teacher whom God is using to teach us who are Gentiles. Chapter 4 of 2 Timothy. Verse 16, at my first answer or defense, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Nevertheless, or notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. So now it looks as though, doesn't it, as though it's to Paul's ministry we must turn if we're going to get the words of Christ in this Gentile age. The words of Christ on earth, limited to his earthly people Israel. Now, no such limitations. Israel is off the scene, unusable, and now he can take this earthen vessel, one who can describe himself with truth as less than the least of all saints. And yet when he speaks, he can speak now with all the authority of Christ himself. So Paul's writings, Paul's epistles, are the very word of God, the very word of Christ. Will you come back with me to the first epistle to the Thessalonians? 1 Thessalonians and the second chapter. Verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, note that expression. They'd only had the ministry of Paul, but that was the word of God. And they hadn't read the Gospels, friend. They weren't in circulation at this time. And one of them wasn't even written. That was the Gospel of John. The Word of God was the Apostles' ministry, which you heard of us. He says so. You received it not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God. You receive my ministry, he said, as the Word of God. Were they right or were they wrong? Well, they were right. And friends, that's how we must receive this man's ministry. It's much the words of Christ, the words of God, as the words that he spake when he was upon earth. And so he doesn't hesitate in this very same letter, in chapter 4, when he's dealing with the hope of this church, to say in verse 15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. I'm not giving you my opinion. I'm saying this by the word of the Lord. So, the very gospel that this man preaches is the gospel of Christ. It was given to him by the risen Christ. Shall we look at the Epistle to the Galatians, in the first chapter? This was his first letter. So this is very foundational and very important. Galatians chapter 1. Verse 11, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. And this gospel then, because it's Christ's gospel, the apostle can say, if any man preach any other gospel, well, let God's curse rest on him. And suppose even an angel came from heaven and preached any other gospel, let God's curse rest on him too. What strong language. This man must have been very sure of himself, mustn't he? But it was absolute truth. What he's giving is the word of Christ. He's giving the word of God. He's giving the gospel for this present time. It's truth for the present. And if you and I wish to preach truth effectively, if we wish to see sinners saved, brought to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, this is where we must go, friends. We can't honestly ask God to bless our ministry if we ignore the gospel which was given by revelation of the Lord Jesus to this earthen vessel. It would be an awful thing if God's curse were upon us. Even though we may have all the zeal in the world and think we're doing the right thing in all sincerity. Here's the standard for gospel preaching today. We shall have to find it in the ministry, the gospel given to the apostle. And if you're still not clear, well, you'll read all about it in 1 Corinthians 15. How that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That is the gospel that the Lord Jesus Christ gave me, said the apostle. And that is the word of truth for the sinner today. Not only that, when he came on to the deeper truth, when he was a prisoner of Jesus Christ, the same Christ met him. The same Christ revealed further truth. The third chapter of Ephesians tells us this. For this cause, in verse 1, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, or better, Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles, so here we are again, we who are Gentiles, here's a word for us, someone who's in prison for us, who are Gentiles, if you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, well, who gave it to him? Well, the same Christ. Christ gave it to him to give to us. Well, how foolish we should be if we turned away from this gift of the Lord Jesus. If we turned away to another channel and say, well, I'm not concerned about this, I'll go somewhere else in the Bible. Well, we shall miss something, surely. He says in verse 3, how that by revelation he made known to me the secret or mystery. I've received my gospel by revelation, he said. And this deeper truth I've also received by revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. I haven't made it up. This is Christ's mystery. This is Christ's secret made known to those who are members of his body. Now, so close is the apostle and his ministry linked with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask you again to turn further on to his last letter to Timothy, that unless we see this, it almost would seem on the surface that the apostle Paul was an egoist. Chapter 1 of the second epistle to Timothy. Verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, or of me, his prisoner. Fancy linking himself with Christ. The Lord's testimony, and don't you be ashamed of me either, he said. But you see, he was linked. That testimony of the Lord was coming through him as the earthen vessel, the prisoner of Jesus Christ. Look down further, verse 10. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Saviour Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher. I. Verse 13. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me. He's talking to Timothy. Solemn words. He's about to give his life for Christ. Now, Timothy, you hold fast not what you've heard from the other apostles, what you've heard of me, he said. And verse 15, this thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me. But why should that matter? Well, it wouldn't matter unless this man's the mouthpiece of Christ. And then it certainly will matter. Oh, a very solemn thing indeed to turn away from the Apostle Paul if he's giving you truth, the very words of the Lord Jesus. Chapter 2. Verse 2, and the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses the same commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also the things you have heard of me. Verse 8, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. But of course he doesn't mean to say that he made it up. He's already told you. He's told us in that first letter of his, this gospel he had by revelation of Jesus Christ. And so he can call it my gospel. The gospel which the Lord has given to me. My gospel. Or chapter 3, verse 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine. And you can put the word my in front of all these. My manner of life. My purpose. My faith. My long-suffering. My love. Look at it. You say this man is full of himself. My. I. Me. Chapter 4. The verse we have already seen. Verse 17. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me that by me the preaching might be fully known. And so in chapter 1, you have, they turned away from me, all in Asia. And you aren't surprised to read in chapter 4 concerning the days when men will turn away from the truth. If they turn away from the Lord's messenger, friends, they'll soon turn away from the Lord's message. But so many don't seem to realize that this is the Lord's messenger for this Gentile age. Two Gentiles, and the only one the Lord has sent with that specific title, the sent one, the apostle to the Gentiles. Come back again, will you, to the first letter to Timothy, chapter 6. He's guiding Timothy. He's giving him this doctrine, this teaching, which is essential for him as a good soldier and a good minister of Jesus Christ. He says in verse 3, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. So friends, here at last are the words of Christ. The words he spoke on earth, he said, are not mine, but they're of his that sent me, the words of the Father. You've got to come after the resurrection before you'll have the literal words of Christ. What the Lord gave to the Apostle Paul were literally the words of Christ. They're wholesome, sound words according to the doctrine which had been deposited with him. So, I do hope that we've seen that if we want the climax of truth, if we want to go and learn God's truth, the words of the Lord Jesus, which are our marching orders today. We shan't have to go to the Gospels. We shall have to go and hear that one whom Hebrews definitely says has spoken from heaven. That's an extraordinary verse in Hebrews 12. Look it up sometime and see. He warns about those who refused him that spake on earth. See that ye refuse him not that speaketh from heaven. How has he spoken from heaven? Well, he hasn't spoken audibly. No one's heard any words coming through the clouds, shouting through the clouds to anybody. No, no. But he's spoken through this earthly channel. They are the words of Christ, even wholesome words, by revelation given to the Apostle Paul, who in and of himself was nobody, less than the least, but taken up by God's sovereign grace, converted and sent as an apostle to you and I, who by nature are outcast Gentiles. And once you see that, oh, what a flood of riches, of grace and glory are then revealed. Our Savior in his earthly life, you remember, said he was limited in much that he wanted to teach them, but he couldn't teach them. Now in all the fullness, the limitation's gone. He said, referring in that earthly life to his teaching, he said, I'm constrained. I have a baptism to be baptized with. And how am I constrained, held in, until it be accomplished? But the Christ of resurrection, the Christ of ascension isn't held in, friends. Through this earthly channel, he gives Oh, we have a vision there of the Lord Jesus Christ far above all, ascended far above all heavens, at the Father's right hand, with riches of grace, riches of glory, exceeding riches, all made known through Paul the prisoner. To you and to me, if left alone, we wouldn't be worthy of any of it. We never would have been touched. Surely it comes as a relief to see that we have not got to go to the words of the earthly Christ. They've got their place. We're not denying them. We give them the place that the Bible gives them, that was to Israel. I'm only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Although, of course, when we study them, we can find much in them. We can learn with profit. But if we want to go in all its fullness, well, let's go to the wholesome words of the Lord Jesus Christ given through Paul the prisoner to us who are not Israelites, but who are Gentiles according to the flesh. So I do hope that's been helpful to all my listeners. Study the epistles of Paul. Remember, they are the word of God. He has said so. They are the words of Christ, and they give us our marching orders today. God give us grace to translate those marching orders into daily fact, so that they may not be just words, but may become acts. It may just take possession of us, so that our whole lives are moulded along the lines of this glorious truth for the present, and that we may just take our share in a witness for these wholesome words of the Lord Jesus Christ, making them known by his divine enabling whenever we have opportunity. And even when we can't speak, may our very actions, may our very bearing show forth that risen and ascended Saviour who has accomplished so much for us, who is now head of the church, which is his body, which I trust we by grace, by saving grace, are members of. May that be true of each one of us. And he shall have all the praise for his name's sake. Amen.